It's time for Sweet Home Cannabama, a show that'll answer all your questions, provide accurate information, and dispel the myths of cannabis. And have your specific questions answered by emailing jennifer@cannabama.com or text or call 343-0106. And now, for all things cannabis in Alabama, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm Jennifer Boozer Stewart, your host. Here at Sweet Home Cannabama, we're on the radio on the Gulf Coast every Monday night at 7 o'clock. For over 6 years now, we are the only cannabis radio talk show that is also a podcast and a live stream podcast, the only show like it in the world. So welcome. If it's your first time to join us, welcome. And if you've been with us for any amount of time in the last 6 years, I just want to say thank you. Real quick, you can't find us in downtown Mobile anymore, unfortunately, but you can still call us. 251-255-5155. We're there to answer any questions you have. Believe it or not, almost 7 weeks after HB 445 went into effect, we are still getting calls daily. People just don't understand what's going on, and they want to know where they can shop. So if you need us, call us. And you can find us on social media as well, on YouTube, LinkedIn, X, TikTok, and you can find me on Facebook, Jennifer Boozer Stewart. I just want to say, this is super unusual, but Sweet Home Cannabama is kind of the redheaded stepchild of radio, being that there is no other show like us. And we've come to a point where I have to humble myself and ask for some support. I have done everything I can think to do for the last 6 years with this radio show to support the cannabis and hemp industries in Alabama as well as nationwide. We've interviewed people from farmers, chemists, product manufacturers, patients, veterans, addicts, and candidates such as our guest tonight, Dr. Will Boyd. But unfortunately, Cannabama, the store, which closed July 1st, was the sole financial provider for this show. We've never had any sponsors outside of our trip to MJ BizCon last year, and we've never had any paid commercials. So I have been funding this endeavor by myself for 6 years, and I can no longer do that. And so I have no choice but to reach out to you, to the people who rely on this show for education, for connection to the industry, connection to the political landscape, the state house, all of the things that have been happening with legislation, and to keep people from succumbing to the stigma that is still attached to cannabis and hemp, thanks to Reefer Madness, for almost 90 years. And so I need some help in return. My sweet husband has helped me set up a Cash App and a Venmo. So if you would donate any amount of money, I don't care if it's a dollar, if every listener donated a dollar, we would be able to run this show for months and months. And I think now it's more important than ever that Sweet Home Cannabama continue to broadcast every week, to continue to explain. We're still trying to understand HB 445 even now, especially with the new rules and regs out from ABC just the other day that have muddied the waters even more. And we're kind of desperately looking for solutions because we know how much the people of Alabama are suffering for this. We don't want to see anyone else arrested, and we do intend to fight to have it changed. But this is a long, hard battle, and Sweet Home Cannabama is, I think, an integral part of that. We're working with the Alabama Cannabis Coalition even now to vet all of the candidates, from mayoral and city council candidates all the way up to ag commissioner, lieutenant governor, and governor, so that the people of Alabama understand who it is they are voting for. There absolutely are people out there who can and want to change this and make it better for everybody and resume the access that everyone in Alabama has enjoyed for the last 7 years. But we cannot do that without help now. So I have a Cash App set up that is SHCB Radio 1 and a Venmo account that is SHCB Radio. And if you can spare a dollar, $5, even $20, we would appreciate it. And like I said, it will go to the show to pay for production costs, the airtime, and the crew that helps me out here. I'm looking at two of the finest guys in the world, my son and my longtime producer, Phil, here. And thank you to Michael Camp, who is in Illinois, remotely helping produce and create these amazing graphics and videos that we usually use. But, you know, we all have bills to pay. I need to be able to pay these guys again. They're actually all volunteering right now. And they're working for free because they believe in what we're doing. But we can't sustain that. And the radio station, you know, they have bills to pay as well. So if you would please consider a donation, share a donation link with the QR code with anybody else in the industry. If you've ever been here as a guest to interview, I would appreciate some support back. And we're going to use it to keep fighting this uphill battle in Alabama, and pray for us because this is tough. It's tough for me. I was more nervous about this segment than I am about interviewing a potential governor. So, yeah, if you would, please consider a donation to keep Sweet Home Canabama on the air. The ABC board does have new rules and regs out. Like I said, it muddies the waters even more. They've added some things that are not in the bill itself, such as putting childproof caps on the lids of any canned beverages. Not sure why, because if a pull tab is safe enough for a beer or a White Claw or these vodka seltzers that are, you know, coming out from Mountain Dew and Sunny D, like those aren't geared to children. But anyway, I digress. Also, in the definition of a smokable product, they have now added anything heated with a battery or device creating a vapor or smoke. And in the bill, there is not a single syllable about vape products, batteries, or anything like that. It very specifically and explicitly describes plant material, hemp cigarettes, pre-rolls, cigars, things of that nature, but there's not a single mention of vapor products or the word inhalation. It only has information about smokable. So that's an overreach. It's a gross overreach, and you can't rewrite the bill. So we're supposed to be able to make public comment for 45 days. I still don't know where we're supposed to make public comment, but I do intend to help everybody know where that is. But if you're curious and don't want to wait for me to tell you next week, you can call the ABC board in Montgomery at 334-271-3840 and ask them where you can leave public comment about what you think about the new rules and regulations and HB 445 in general. And one comment, Trump, the whole rescheduling conversation that I think he kind of got tricked into. He had a conversation with someone at a $1 million-a-plate dinner, and that person ran with it to the media. And so now we're talking about it. Everybody seems to think it should be a positive thing, a baby step. It's progress. It is absolutely not. Taking it from Schedule 1 to Schedule 3 does not make it legal. You will still go to prison. You will still get possession and trafficking charges. It is still a felony. And it basically takes it down to Schedule 3, which makes it prescribable, and will hand it to the entire cannabis industry, to the big pharma, on a silver platter. And no one wants that. The mom and pop industry that we know in legal states will cease to exist unless those businesses can get a pharmacy license. And from what I understand, a pharmaceutical license takes at least 4 years to obtain. And so people will go out of business and the industry will collapse while they're waiting for that, if they can even get it. I'm sure it's a lengthy and expensive process, just like every other barrier to entry into this industry. So rescheduling is bad. The only thing that would even potentially start to legalize cannabis federally would be to completely remove it from the Controlled Substances Act, deschedule it, and decriminalize it federally. So go ahead and write letters, emails, calls to your U.S. senators and representatives, and let them know that you are not in favor of rescheduling. This is a bait and switch. It is not progress. It doesn't matter that maybe businesses that are active will get a tax break or not have as much trouble with banking. who cares if you're out of business? That's just like me. You could offer me all that right now. I'm not in business anymore. You know, HB 445 ruined that. And so none of those things apply to me. And so I'm going to keep fighting for what is truly right and what we truly need to see federally with cannabis. And of course, we know that there's also federal legislation that's been tossed around about the hemp industry as well. Some of it's very scary. That would basically ban any product with any measurable amount of THC. But there's also Rand Paul's bill that would increase the THC limit to 1%. When we come back from the break, I want to introduce to you a great man that I have been getting to know who's running for Alabama governor, Dr. Will Boyd. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about cannabis, here's your host, Jennifer Booser.
Welcome back, everybody. Tonight, I want to introduce you to Dr. Will Boyd. I have been anticipating this interview for a while now, and I am so excited to finally get one-on-one with Dr. Boyd. I want to tell you a little bit about him. He is a devoted husband, father, and lifelong servant leader with a proven record in business, education, faith, and public service. Born in Florence, South Carolina, and now residing in both Hoover and Florence, Alabama, his life is defined by a commitment to family, faith, and building stronger communities. A successful businessman and engineer, Will began his career in manufacturing leadership roles in the U.S. and abroad, including as a production manager and quality executive with A.O. Smith Water Products and International Filter Manufacturing. His private and public sector experience gives him a unique ability to grow opportunity, build strong organizations, and lead with integrity. Will holds a BS in engineering from the University of South Carolina, an MBA from Regis University, and doctorates in religion, psychology, and organizational management. He has served as chancellor of St. James the Elder University, dean of student success, an assistant professor of management at Greenville College, and is the author of 3 books on leadership, values, and faith. In public service, he made history as the first African-American elected to the Greenville, Illinois City Council, and later as the first African-American male nominated for U.S. Senate in Alabama in 2022. He was also the Democratic nominee for Lieutenant Governor in 2018 and for U.S. Congress in 2016. An engaged community leader, Will has served on the board of directors for the Healthcare Authority of Lauderdale County and the City of Florence, and as an active member of Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated, where he has held multiple leadership roles. As a respected faith leader, he serves as presiding bishop of Zion Ministries, pastor of the historic St. Mark Missionary Baptist Church in Florence, and patriarch of the Holy Catholic Church International. His ministry has touched lives around the world, offering guidance and support to communities across Alabama and beyond. As a servant leader, Will believes in core values of equality, fairness, and freedom, and envisions a day when every American has an equal opportunity to realize the American dream. Welcome to the show, Dr. Will Boyd.
Well, good evening. How are you?
I'm good. I was sweating that first segment there because it is humbling when you have to ask other people for help, but I know my community is strong, and I know that this show has a lot of value, and so I appreciate you giving me some grace there because I'm sweating.
Hey, welcome to the life of a candidate. That's what we have to do. Call time. Call and ask for money. Ask for help. We have to do it all the time. So
that is one of the main reasons I have not committed to running for office yet, because I have been asked many times. And that's what kind of chokes me up is, how in the world am I going to afford to do that? And will anybody support that financially? But, you know, if I knew I had the support, I'd be raring to go.
Well, obviously you have the support. And let me say this, two of the worst things in the world for me to do are to talk about myself and to ask for money.
Right.
And so I get it. I understand. But that's what we have to do, right? Ask people for support,
right?
And the vision you've laid out and the way you're doing it, I'm sure you're going to have many people that are going to come along and help you. That's
why
I'm here tonight.
I think that the people of Alabama, you know, everything outside of what the Republican Party has been doing for a while now. I mean, everything is an uphill battle. And I wish that the people understood the value of just getting out and giving $1 or $5 and getting out and voting. I just read that the Dothan mayoral election only had 15% of voters turn up. And that just is soul-crushing number.
Absolutely. Especially when you consider voting is all about people expressing their values, their opinions, or their thoughts at the ballot box. You know, I believe it's one of the most important things a citizen, a resident of a state like Alabama can do is be present, show up and vote. A lot of people died, sacrificed so that we can vote. And many people say things like, hey, I'm going to hold my vote. I'm going to wait until later on to decide, or they waited until the last minute to decide what the issues are, what the ballots measures
right.
may be. And when they do that, they're cheating themselves. They're hurting people in their community.
Absolutely.
When they don't show up, it's like a no vote. You know, it's like not standing up for what you believe. So it's something that's important. Everybody needs to do it.
Well, and it's funny because I learned this session, spending many days in the State House, that when they put something to a vote there, if you abstain, that's an automatic yes, which makes no sense. But I said that to say that makes it all the more important that we choose who gets to do that, who gets to say yes or no, because what we have now is not okay. It's not working. It is not okay for the people of Alabama, and the only way we can change that as a whole is to get out and vote. Also, two-thirds of the ballot, when we voted for president, all these people were running for re-election, two-thirds of them were unopposed.
Absolutely.
And that is crazy. We're not only letting them win, we're not even making them fight for it.
Absolutely.
And
Absolutely.
That, to me, is a travesty.
It is. And of course, it's asinine to just think that things are going to change when we don't change the people that we send. We need to start voting to send people who have our interests at heart.
Right.
Vote people who know exactly what the issues are.
Absolutely.
You know, as it relates even to the hemp ban, one of the biggest reasons why I'm in this fight with you from this perspective is this legislation passed HB 445 without there being any discussion with business owners, with farmers, with patients, with people who need this type of product or service.
Right.
And so that clearly demonstrated that the legislature did not have any desire for the people to be a part of the lawmaking process.
Nope.
We elect representatives to represent us, to be the voices for us. And when they don't take time to have a town hall, to conduct a poll, to explore and see what people think, whether they agree with it or not,
right.
that's what's missing right now in government overall.
Well, and they clearly did not read what we know are thousands and thousands of emails that we just hammered them with. The public was so great in helping us do that. I had Representative Gray said, I don't have to read the emails to know that people are upset. People do not email their legislators when they're happy. They only email when there's something wrong or something that they don't like. And he said, the sheer volume tells me the people of Alabama do not want this. And yet here we are, you know, and that's the crazy part. But also, you know, since you're running for governor, let's go there. Our governor also received 7 days after the bill was concurred and sitting on her desk to veto or not. 7 days we hammered her office. We called and called and called. We texted, we emailed. We knew they were inundated day and night. And still she signed that bill. So she was not listening to the voters either. And, you know, I would like to believe that we can find somebody for governor that would at least pay attention to those thousands of calls and emails and consider the damage that they were doing on any issue. You know, this isn't just about hemp. This happens across the board. Every piece of legislation. I mean, I keep bringing this up. I sound like a broken record, but we watched them bully the midwives trying to deliver babies safely in counties where there are no services, no rural delivery rooms, no pediatrician's office, and to the point where they withdrew their bill. And so this isn't just about hemp. This is about the way things work in Alabama, and it is incredibly broken, and the only way to change it is to get people who have the people's best interest at heart into office.
Well, I agree with you, and I wish people would stop and wake up. I mean, you just mentioned something that relates to infant mortality rates being high, maternity mortality rates being high.
Yep.
But added to that, we have 900,000 people in poverty. We have congressional districts where there are over 100,000 people in a single congressional district, particularly women who might not have access to health care. You look at the fact that with the big, beautiful bill, as they call it, we call it the big, ugly bill, you might have 19 hospital closures. You have some counties that I roll through on a weekly basis that don't have ambulatory services,
yep.
don't have rural hospitals. So when a woman is in labor, as you talked about earlier, or in need of OBGYN services, she may have to drive 45 minutes to an hour in case just to get someone to look at her for an appointment. So
right.
imagine if further complicating that issue, there are children, other children involved, and maybe there is no caretaker around to help, to assist. Alabama's just in a different place, and it makes me wonder if we haven't been listening. Of course, HB 45 was an example, but look at all the other ways in which our legislature, governor, lieutenant governor, constituent, constitutional officers haven't been listening to their constituents. Otherwise, you don't let people die. You don't let people get sick. You don't let people find that there is no hope. We have to, again, elect people, whether they're Republican, Independents, Democrats, doesn't matter to me. As long as they have the people's heart at in hand, in mind, that's what we need right now. And of course, we've just seen so many heartless things that are going wrong. And so as a governor, I'll come in with the legislative authority that the people will give me, that the Constitution allows me to exercise. And I hope that I'll be able to do things that relieve Alabama pressure and make us to advance and, of course, have sustainable revenues and do much better than we're doing today.
Right, because it seems like every time I see a news article come out, first of all, they don't even discuss Democratic candidates. And in my experience,
no.
I've said this before as well, in my experience during the session, and I'm not a Democrat. I used to be a Republican, but I used to always just vote for whoever my husband told me to vote for, and I have learned a whole lot better than that, especially
right.
in the last 7 years being subject of some of this stuff, this crazy legislation, and my livelihood and my kingdom work that I sit here and do every day being at stake. And it's the Democrats in the legislative session were the ones who listened to us. The Democrats were the ones who asked questions during these hearings, and they were the ones who went to bat for us on that last day, saying, if you remove smokable flower, all of these businesses will fail, and they ignored that. You know, and they said, oh, Melson said, we're going to take it out of gas stations. And then they added it all back and put it in grocery stores, you know. And now a liquor store or a grocery store can have it, but I can't. You know, that's crazy.
Yeah.
When we come back from the break, we're going to talk more about his campaign with Dr. Will Boyd. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about cannabis, here's your host, Jennifer Booser.
Welcome back, everybody. We're talking with Dr. Will Boyd, who is running for Alabama governor. Dr. Boyd, let's get into your campaign platform. I know you have some issues that are dear to your heart, and I want to give you a chance to kind of give us a brief overview of what your plans are.
Well, thank you. Economic development is important. So, again, one of the reasons why I'm here tonight is to discuss the economic impact of a hemp ban and
mm-hmm.
talk about what we could do as we move forward as governor and with you and others working alongside me. Economic development is important to me as I'm a former business professor, someone who's helped other people start businesses, someone who could talk from the risk-taking start all the way to the finish, what's involved.
Right.
Moving beyond economic development, I want to talk about the need for us to have quality, exceptional education. It begins with not only pre-K, but making sure that if someone is going to, after high school, perhaps into the trades, we call it blue-collar work. I believe in a blue-collar revival, being pro-labor, but also being pro-business, as I believe it's important to support small businesses and make sure we attract the larger corporations that can bring revenue streams into our state. And then, of course, the other big issue on the plate beyond economy, education, relates to healthcare.
Yes.
Perhaps it's one of the biggest issues now, and it involves, again, what we're talking about now tonight with hemp, cannabis, et cetera. We could talk about the fact that right now we have over 200,000 people, 283,696, somewhere in that framework, somewhere in that quote, I should say, people who are just waiting to have help coming by way of Medicaid expansion. And why we haven't expanded it, I have no clue. It's an investment that we could make of around $22 million, 22.8 to be exact, mm-hmm. by some estimates, and we could see over $300 to almost $400 million return. We
wow.
could have over 200,000 people covered with Medicaid. We could bring in $2 billion in revenue to our state. We could put 20,000 people to work, and we could find a lot of people who are in pain right now, suffering, able to find a better quality of life and to live the remaining days of their lives in dignity. So, again, I'm sure we share a common interest, you and I, and that's why I'm here tonight.
Absolutely, absolutely. I don't have health care coverage, and that is a very scary thing. If something were to happen to me, you know, would I end up struggling the rest of my life if I had an emergency or, you know, an accident and ended up racking up bills? You know, I actually had poor prenatal care and lost a son to malpractice in Louisiana. And so I know what these whole counties with no care for women, what that means, what's at stake there. Because I would have bled to death myself. I'm sorry to get graphic, but that's the reality.
No,
and I lost a 9-pound healthy child because he was brain dead and took him off of life support. And I had Medicaid. And that is the only reason that we didn't absolutely go broke, because all of that NICU care and the emergency care, the surgeries and stuff, I mean, women need access to that. And anybody, I mean, you know, nobody would probably even, I don't know if I would qualify for Medicaid maybe now that I'm unemployed, but, you know, but it's something that is a huge issue for me, because I see people, a friend of mine was in the emergency room the other day. She's like, y'all, there's people everywhere. There's people outside with IV drip bags, you know, and then you go in, you have a problem, and they accuse you of being a drug addict. It's insane the way that conventional medicine is, especially here in Alabama, and how many people cannot afford it or access it in a time of need. In an emergency, you don't have time to go from county to county.
You don't. And first of all, let me say I'm so sorry about the loss of your child.
Thank you.
You're being very transparent. You're being very intentional about sharing private information. My wife and I went through a similar challenge ourselves.
I'm so sorry.
Not as far along in the pregnancy as you were, but obviously I remember Jeremiah, who would have been born on what I call my ministerial anniversary. February 14th, 1991 is when I started serving,
wow.
and he was going to be born on that day, and of course, he didn't make it.
Yeah.
You know, we argue about being pro-life and pro-choice in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I talk about because of my journey and Jeremiah is I believe in life from the cradle to the grave, even from the womb to the grave. As a bishop, I'm the last person who's at the grave. When
right.
the undertakers are putting the dirt on the vault, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I also believe that in Alabama, if we're really concerned about being about life, we should also be concerned about the women who need to make their own health care decisions with the health care provider. We need
right.
to be concerned about women, particularly when you're in this talk about whether you're pro-life or pro-choice. What about the woman who's bleeding out on a toilet, trying to finish or complete a pregnancy that she knows, like yourself, isn't going to end in a favorable position? Now there's some women who are forced to deliver stillborn children at home, and they're wondering if they're going to face criminal charges
right.
based on the way they handle their child and the people, the OBGYN, who could provide them services and relieve them of the pain, stop them, some of them, from dying at home, bleeding out, going through processes that could cause complications as it relates to the delivery, they're afraid they'll be prosecuted also. So when you're living in a nation, a state that creates so much fear about something that should be a joyful process, you have to stop and ask yourself, what kind of state are we in? As a nation, as a state, it should not be that way. So, again, as it relates to healthcare, I believe high-quality healthcare should be accessible and affordable to all. There shouldn't be anyone in Alabama who does not have access to healthcare. I know you mentioned you don't have it. That will not be an issue as Medicaid is expanded.
Yeah.
You would be covered, and you wouldn't have a problem. You know, there's some person listening right now, many people listening right now in Pickens County. If they have a health care problem, they have to drive all the way to Tuscaloosa. Went to Lawrence County a few weeks ago, and as we were driving around trying to find the health care facility, we learned that it closed 2 weeks before.
Yes.
So, you know, we have a lot of challenges. That's 67 counties, 2025. You have to ask yourself, you know, I'm all for supporting nations like Ukraine who are in the middle of fights for their life day after day. But you have to ask yourself, how do we find millions, if not billions, to send to other countries? And we have third world-like states.
I think third world is accurate. And the poverty level in Alabama, I mean, a lot of these women and children too. I mean, if you're going to be pro-life, and I am pro-life, that means you have to be pro-children. You have to no kid gets rejected because they have a balance on their lunch tab, and people aren't just you know, not having access to real fresh foods and nutritional information so that they can make better choices. I mean, look at all of the children in this state that have been in the news for the most horrific things. And now the government wants to be reactionary about it, you know, and that, I think that's what burns me up the most when they use this Save the Children thing. Who's saving all the children that are suffering from food insecurity, or as they call it, poverty, you know, lack of medical services, and all the things that come with us being like a third world country in a lot of ways? Because you're right, we shouldn't be sending it away to other people when our own people are sleeping on the streets. And it just doesn't make any sense to me.
It doesn't. And SNAP has, you know, we're probably 9 years ago, I was fighting about the idea of SNAP being cut, supplemental nutritional assistance programs for kids. These aren't new things. These are things that we've been fighting for years. So when we're in 2025, going to a 2026 election, and some are, of course, we know all across our state, municipal elections are occurring in just a few days. So if a person doesn't know who's on the ballot, if a person doesn't know who their mayor will be or could be, city councilors are, probably want to pull out a laptop, a newspaper, you know, some print media, and find out who the candidates are.
Right.
Because when we don't show up to vote, or when we vote the wrong people in who don't have our interests, we cannot fight back after the election as effectively.
Right. And please don't vote for governor based on the fact that you're an Auburn fan.
Absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely.
I'm not gonna beat that dead horse, but War Eagle or whatever they say, Roll Tide. that's ridiculous.
Well,
listen to what these
at
people
the University
are saying.
Of North Alabama, a Lion, and one I have one at the University of Alabama, and a 12-year-old at home. So I'm a Lion one day. I'm on the Alabama side, but I also have Auburn people and other colleges all across the state that and universities I'm supporting. So.
Well, I might have marital issues with my brand new husband if he hears me say War Eagle one more time.
Uh-oh. Better hit your mute button.
Love you, babe. Well, let's talk about equal opportunity and workers' rights. I mean, those are big issues, too, because voting rights, I mean, maybe if you do get to be governor, would you commit to having at least one conversation with me privately about how we get issues on the ballot and allow the people of Alabama? I know that that's not something you can do, I don't think. It's got to be passed into law, but we need voter initiatives in this state. We need we need the people to be able to say if they want a lottery for education funds. We need the people to be able to say if they want cannabis to be legal or not, because I already know the answer to that. We need, just like this whole thing where Republicans are going to blackball each other if they put a Democrat up for a job or an appointment, even if that person happens to be best for the job. I mean, how many ways do you stack the deck against the people of Alabama before you start to listen to them? I mean, how do you feel about putting things on the ballot?
It's very important. You know, first of all, when I become governor, it's not going to be an if, but when I
Amen.
Become governor, we're going to see, obviously, changes. But I want to make it clear, I can't just step in day one and veto what's already taking place. It's going to take us calling a special legislative session. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what the governor can do is restrict the subject matter of the legislative session. So if I reduce it to simply a discussion about HB 445, mm-hmm. Let people come in and talk about what's going on as it relates to farmers.
Right.
I mentioned earlier businesses, by the way. You know, when I'm in the business classroom teaching, I teach people that small businesses make up about 80% of the businesses in a state and a nation, whereas 20% are your larger corporations. Now, flipping the script, it's those 20% of the corporations that end up providing about 80% of the revenues.
Right.
But when you look at Alabama and you look at the fact that there are probably 1,000 small businesses that close as a result of HB 445, and you look at the economic impact, sometimes for people who don't understand because they get blindsided by whether you have an R, a D, or an I behind or in front of your name.
Yes.
Put it in black and white.
Let me stop
put
you right there. We've got.
Red.
I'm sorry, I don't want to get you cut off. We got to go to commercial break, but we'll pick right back up here when we come back with Dr. Will Boyd. Thank you.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about cannabis, here's your host, Jennifer Booser.
Welcome back, everybody, to Sweet Home Cannabama every Monday night at 7 o'clock right here on FM Talk 106.5. And we are live streaming from a bunch of places, including our YouTube channel, LinkedIn, X, and Facebook, I think Instagram as well. Dr. Boyd, we were talking about voting rights. Before we run out of time, this is our last segment. I do want to give you a chance to cover clean air, clean water.
Clean air, clean water is very important. I deal with this all the time. There are a lot of clean air issues, ways we can resolve it as it relates to pollutants in the air, parts per million. But let me just stop for just a second and say, as it relates to clean water, we have certain counties in our state, like Lowndes County, where they don't have access to working, functional septic tanks. As a result, there are 25,000 people who are experiencing sewage crisis. So that affects the water. Sewer obviously pouring right out of the home to the backyard, gets obviously into the soil, into the ground, can contaminate waterways, streams, et cetera. And so this is an issue. We've had chemical spills in Alabama. We've had some places that could not get access to clean drinking water until about a few years ago. This is 2025. So when I say third world conditions,
yeah, you mean it.
We've met, I mean it. Some people who built houses in 1986, and they still don't have septic tanks. So I'm not getting into pointing fingers tonight, but the last administration made provisions for these septic tanks to go in. Blue-collar workers came in, like the pipe fitters, started even putting these septic tanks in, working with the homeowners. This was since reversed under the current administration, and now that effort has come to a screeching halt. How is that possible in 2025? So I could say a lot about the
wow.
air, the water, the sewer, but this should not be, and that's why I'm concerned about Alabama. We talk a whole lot, and we put the same people back in office, and we just expect different results. But Alabama, please wake up. Put somebody in office.
Right.
From the dog catcher, lower levels of government. All
well,
the way
they're
to
all
the
up for election
echelon.
This year.
Do it.
I think Marty at Alabama Cannabis Coalition, which, by the way, is a great place to find endorsed candidates who are not prohibitionists and to find out who the prohibitionists are. But, you know, I totally lost my train of thought. I am so sorry.
Just putting people in office. Putting good people
yes,
in office.
Putting good people in office. Well, if you've always do what you've always done, you always get what you always got.
That's
Can
it.
We
That's
stop
it.
The madness
That's
and get off this, you know, merry-go-round of horror and do something different. And from where I sit, the only way to do that, again, is at the ballot box. Stop electing these people and stop letting them run unopposed and just slide right on into another term. There are people that have been in the state house for 40 plus years. Why? I know tons of smart, educated, experienced, amazing people who could just get in there and make some sense out of all this. Common sense has left Alabama, if it ever lived here in the first place. Common sense does not exist in the Alabama government, and we're just sitting back griping about it on Facebook, and we have to do something different.
We do. And if I could say, if a different administration, a Boyd administration, would come in and say to an issue like the HB 45 legislation, it was wrong, it was not right, the people weren't listened to, but here's what we can do. Executive action number one, we could actually look for direct pardons and commutations. So we can lessen the number of people who are in prison for minor infractions and stop young people like my children's ages from being incriminated or incarcerated for perhaps the use of hemp or medical marijuana or whatever it may be, perhaps even some for recreational use. Support expungement. Make sure we have decriminalization guidance. Make sure we have task force on marijuana and hemp reform. That I lead that task force, that I bring in legal experts, scientists, farmers, experts in the industry, people who will help, even coming out of former incarcerated places, prisons in Alabama, push for full decriminalization, economic licensing. Look at licensing. I've been talking about this for years, and I want you to shut me down if you need to, but it's not right that we punish people who try to be entrepreneurs in Alabama. And right now, even the way we're handling the excise tax, the licensing, the ABC prescription for the direction that we may want to go. People are confused about, you mentioned earlier, the packaging. So these are easy ways for people who are trying to comply to get caught up and further find themselves in trouble with the law. So it's a cycle. And if you don't know anything about Alabama, you're tuning in for the first time. In Alabama, we seem to honor people and allow people who want to celebrate punishment to be able to build big multi-million-dollar high-tech prisons to put more people in the pipeline to prison. And this is, whether you want to admit it or not, this is another pipeline to prison.
Yes,
this,
it is.
This is
absolutely
affecting entrepreneurs. So we need medical marijuana patient and provider protections. We need to make sure that I call, again, that legislative session, narrow it down, bring people in. Use the bully pulpit, I hate to say that, to put public pressure on the House and Senate leadership to make sure that a signature policy is there for us to make sure that after once passed by three-fifths of the legislature, we can do what Texas, Indiana, and New York did. They had where there was something like a 445 ban in place, but when people came together, they used the law to work in their favor, and they turned things around. So I want to invite people, as they donate to you, to get involved with your cause, to get involved with even my platform, to donate to me, drwillboyd.com, to visit my website, and they'll see all of this is listed out. This is what we want to do to move Alabama forward. I have some other ideas to bring in revenue, but again, we just stopped 1,000 businesses from succeeding. We just stopped a potential $100 million revenue stream. We just stopped every 6 acres could employ one person in the hemp industry and result in over 10,000, let me just back it up and just say, about 1,500 to 2,000 more people working in the hemp industry right away, as it relates to these acreage of farms that I'm talking about. Look at the Black Belt.
Yes.
Look at the opportunities that we could bring there with farming. Look at our biodiverse state where we could support this type of crop that would, as you well know, we're talking about a turnover of every 3 to 4 months.
Yep.
So this is not somebody's, I'm planting corn, I'm planting beans, and I might get a return here if I take this to the farmer's market, if I'm selling to this group. No, you know where this return on the investment is going to be.
Right.
So this is not a hard issue to process. This is a no-brainer, as we would call it. So for the life of me, I understand people wanting to make sure there are precautions in place so that young people don't do certain things. But look, young people are going to do what young people want to do. We have to make sure that we do everything to protect them, that there are warnings in place, that there are guardrails in place. But look, people can go anywhere and do anything they want. Let's let our state be a state that's about freedom and fairness.
Yes.
On any subject.
Well, and you mentioned earlier about trades. The hempcrete industry is in its infancy.
Absolutely.
The hemp fiber industry is in its infancy. Absolutely. There's a handful of people in the country doing this. Why shouldn't we? I believe when they passed SB 393 in 2016 and promoted it and it voted for it unanimously, including the people who just crushed it again, they wanted to be on the forefront. They wanted Alabama to be the innovators across this industry. And all we got was the product side of it, and the rest of it is gone by the wayside. And now, I mean, who even knows? But we should be dominating. We do. We have the black belt. We are farmers. We have Delta soil. I've read we're the most biodiverse state in the country.
We are.
They call it Amazon of the United States. Why aren't we benefiting from this? Why are we a third world country?
We should not be. We should not be. And again, that's what I preach, teach everywhere I go. I believe I'm the perfect person for 2026 for Alabama for the next 4 years, because it just so happens I'm a mechanical engineer by degree. And so I could talk about hempcrete. I could talk about rebar. I could talk about concrete. I could talk about building. Just so happens I'm a former business professor. So I could talk about the economy. I could talk about the economic footprint of an industry such as this one. Just so happens I'm also a bishop and a pastor who doesn't use weapon as a faith as a weapon.
Right.
I can talk about how I may believe certain things about life. I may believe certain things even about smoking or drinking or partying or whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? I also believe in freedom and fairness.
That's
and
right.
So I believe I'm the right one that's going to be able to bridge that gap for so many different silos that exist in Alabama. I can bring people together. Will we agree on everything? Absolutely not. But until we bring people to the table and try to discuss where
yes.
we are, where we want to go, we'll never see solutions.
Thank you so much, Dr. Boyd, because Alabama can and Alabama will.
Alabama will.
You can find him at drwillboyd.com, right?
That's it.
Thank you so much. We'll see you next week on Sweet Home Canabama. Good night.
All right. Take care.